This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
With me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And first of all, a happy, healthy new year to all our listeners, which I understand the listenership is growing significantly. We love the fact you love the show. Don't forget to tell your friends we are sharing the unbiased, unemotional investing style here and riding this bull market that got out of the gates a few years ago and no one really was looking. And here we are just climbing the wall of worry. And I want to mention we've got a couple of really excellent guests. We've got a gentleman who is an expert on the Asian market. My God, is that market hot. And again, we'll see if we can get some of the uncertainty out of the way about where real estate and where interest rates are going. We'll bring on our guest, Mike Larson, later in the show to do that as well. What I want to do here right now is we always focus on the market itself at this part. I want to mention I'm holding right now the January 1 newsletter that we just uploaded to the group. Remember, if you're interested in a sample copy, go to magnetreport.com, hit our website at magnetinvesting.com. But what I was very, very happy to see is in our model portfolio here, we now have four stocks up over 100% and one slipped into the 200 level. And again, folks, this is our list of stocks broken down, all top-ranked magnet stocks, cutting our losses and letting our profits go as unemotionally as we can and just riding a quantitative level where we rank all public companies regardless of what industry they're in, and we rank them by sales growth, margin acceleration, cash flow, all the fundamentals we need. And then last thing we do, we just double check the portfolio to make sure, in fact, the list is still going up. We don't want to make excuses and say but. So what we're seeing here, what I said on the newsletter cover here, is get ready for the running of the bulls. And everyone is talking about, while there's a good economy and there's a lot of cash on the sidelines, and they have the most modest expectations. People are absolutely, some reason, deathly afraid to have any optimism whatsoever. So we're going to hit Dow 15,000, in my opinion, this year. I think the indexes are going to do significantly even better than that. Remember, off last year's base, we're only really talking about 10% to get us there. I think that's an easy shot, but more importantly, you know, I talked about there's going to be increased volatility. And man, did we see that coming out of the gates yesterday right away. I think what you have right here, you can't read too much into the daily trading, because if you do that, folks, you get lost very, very quickly. There were very few losses to take last year, so people had significant gains in the market. A tax-sensitive investor is going to hold their gains until the new year starts, and then let some of the profits go right in the beginning of the year. We saw that already. So what I think we're going to see, despite the fact that we enter the year in a overbought condition, I don't want to focus, folks, on the next 5% and the next 3% moves, especially when you have a market that has this much excess cash built up. What we said in our newsletter and what I'll say for you here is that we're already seeing housing. I'm curious what our guest will say when he comes on. We're seeing the first upticks in housing. Now we're actually going to see not a speculative alternative to the stock market, but what we don't want to see is people being thrown upside down, people, you know, a real disastrous housing market would be the last thing we need to see here. I don't see that happening at all. I think what we have here instead is a moderate housing market, low interest rates, which provide no competition for the stock market, and we have people just starting to wake up and realize that the market is doing better, and anybody who's looking to get aggressive at all must look in the stock market. There's nowhere else to look. That said, that doesn't mean we blindly rush into the stock market and buy anything with a couple tickers attached to them. What's much more important here is to be very, very discriminating. We're not interested in the list of what's going up. What we're interested in are companies that for some reason are exploding their profit margins. When you see that, what you invariably have is companies with new products, with very little competition, and when you see that taking place, after quarter, analysts, individuals, institutions, mutual funds, they can't help themselves. They get attracted to these stocks. That's why we call them magnet stocks. We find them a little early. We've kind of rigged a quantitative model. We know what institutions look for. We can find these things faster. We also want to be going into the large cap market to see what scores out best in the large cap, because there's no question that despite my belief that once again the small and mid-cap market will outperform the large cap market, what we do need to see is where the money is flowing. There's an expectation, which I can live with, that earnings may moderate somewhat. We're not talking about recession here. We're talking about earnings moderating. And in that environment, a lot of the institutions are going to go up the ladder and buy larger cap stocks. So what we don't want to do here is get into any kind of an argument about large cap versus small cap. That's very small-minded. It leads to nothing. Much more important is identify what we call the superlatives. And in any business, in any market, in anything, whether it's haircutters, athletes, whether it's architects or stocks, all things cannot be great by definition. There's something called the bell curve. There's losers over on the left side of the bell curve. They're growing their earnings and margins slower. They may even be deteriorating. On the right side are those innovative companies that have a leg up, that are growing revenues rapidly, growing margins rapidly. When they're the smaller companies, they tend to have pullbacks. If you're thinking about using these 5 and 7% stop losses with the world's fastest growing companies, you're going to get nothing but a strained neck from the whiplash you'll be experiencing from time to time. We don't want to do that. We want to actually be unemotional, but we do use our stop losses down at levels all the way down at 20%. What that does, it gives room to breathe. It gives rooms for the fastest growing companies. If we enter them right and we use all our technical analysis to try to identify first what to buy and then secondly when to buy them, if we enter a top stock and it goes down 20%, folks, we have to scratch our head and maybe think we actually did, in fact, something wrong. Maybe our analysis isn't right. What we don't want to do in our life, what we won't do in this show, what we won't do in our portfolios that we run live for people professionally, is make excuses. Instead, what we want to do is continue to use the magnet stock selection process, identify the best entry points, and then sit back and let our profits run and cut the losses short where we need to, and continue to speak with management to understand why profits are accelerating, why earnings are accelerating, why profit margins are accelerating. And when you find a company with a special niche, a company that's dominating its market, what you really need to do is double, triple, even quadruple or more on your money, and those magnets will make up for every stumble, everything you missed along the way, and this concept of shading eighths or looking for quarters and day trading. I'm not going to knock it, but it's not for us. I don't believe in paying the tax man. I don't believe in the slippage that occurs from that approach. So as we enter the market very, very overbought, I don't want to minimize the fact that there's risk out there, that this is not an easy business. The market will do everything it can possibly do to confuse as many people as it can. And if you stay on the right side, folks, that's where wealth is actually generated. So what I want to urge everyone to do is we are scoring out portfolios for institutions. Let us work that way for you. This is a complimentary service for you. It's a way of introducing ourselves. So sample the newsletter. See what our top scores look like. Remember, pick your head up. Don't look over the hood of your car, folks. This is, in fact, what a bull market looks like. And a quick reminder, what we're mostly interested in is the new high to new low list, which continues to run extremely favorably. We're very tuned in on the advanced decline line, which continues, again, to work very favorably. So what we ideally would love to see, and we saw a little bit of it last month, is the overbought scenario work itself off as the market continues to climb the wall of worry. Coming up on the show, you need to stick with us. We're going to bring on Tony Sagami, and he is a expert and specialist in Asia and technology analyst. And coming up right after this break, we'll bring on Mike Larson. We want to hear what he has to say about interest rate and real estate. So stick with us here on Voice America. We'll be back with more profitable investing after this quick break from our sponsor. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
Ugh! See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. No further ado, we're going to bring on our first guest here. We're going to bring on Tony Sagami, and Tony's got a super bio, runs a senior editor of the Asia Technology Analyst for Money and Markets, along with some other things. So, Tony, we have, first of all, let me welcome you to the show.
Well, Happy New Year from Montana, Jordan.
All righty, from the big sky, huh?
Yes, sir.
Terrific. Well, Tony, we have a quantitative model we use to evaluate stocks ourselves. The M in Magna stands for management. So the first thing I want you to do is go over your M, tell us who you are, give us your background, and let the folks know why I asked you to come on the show.
Oh, heck, I wear a lot of hats. You know, I am a portfolio manager, managing money for about 25 years. I'm the editor of the Asia Stock Alert, which is a newsletter concentrates on Asian stocks, particularly in China. And I also own a software company called Monocle Systems that also focuses on quantitative issues. And so when you're looking at, so we actually have quite a bit in common. If you're looking for companies with accelerating revenues, accelerating operating margins, growing profits, price momentum, you can find those in spades in China.
Well, you know, I know you right now. Let me just give you background, then I'm going to send it to you. I was over in Shanghai a couple of years ago, and even while the markets were, or I should say, even while their economy was growing, and you could just smell the expansion, man, the stock market was going nowhere. No one had any optimism in the market, which is obviously the time to buy. And then, bang, it took off. Last year was a huge year. This year started off already used for Asian stocks. So give us a background. Tell us what is going on there to create all this.
Well, it's the transformation from a command economy, old communism, into capitalism. And that change has empowered 1.3 billion Chinese to become hardworking capitalist entrepreneurs that want to get a piece of the American dream. They've watched Beverly Hills 90210, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. They want what we have, and that's financial success, and they're willing to work hard to do it. And that catalyst is why those companies are growing so fast. You know, it's rare to find somebody in China that doesn't work at least 60 hours a week and have two jobs. They are a hard-working, industrious country, and it shows off in their profits.
Right. Well, there's no question that the work ethic was there. There's no question there's been a lot of people there for a long time. But I understand there's some changes that took place in the stock market, ownership of Chinese companies by foreigners. Maybe you want to talk about that. I don't know. Is that the catalyst, or, you know, maybe it's just finally people waking up, seeing, you know, faster growth there. What's the catalyst that got it going?
They have relaxed standards for foreign investors to invest in Chinese stocks, and also the Chinese government has released ownership of their state-owned enterprises. Some of the fastest-growing companies, the big names that you hear about, China Mobile, Canadian National Offshore Oil Corporation, tried to buy Chevron a year and a half ago, those formerly state-owned enterprises are now accepting investors, and those are some of the best-run companies with fantastic growth. And so what you're really looking at is kind of parallels what's happening in the U.S. market. It's just awash in liquidity because so much money, not just from the U.S., but from Europeans, Japan, is pouring into China, and you have all that professional money chasing these stocks. And that's not going to change for several years.
Okay, and I'll tend to agree with you there. Now, let me ask, you mentioned you're running quantitative screens. Do you also go over, kick the tires there, or are you able to do this through screens and through your network of relationships?
A little of each. You know, I always use my quantitative models to come up with a buy list because no matter how good a stock is, it's not good to have to overpay for it. So we do that first. But then we also kick the tires. I just came back from a 21-day trip where I visited 8 different cities in Asia. And so there's all kinds of exciting things going on. But it's a combination. Things look good on paper, but their financial disclosures in Asia are not as thorough as they are in the U.S. And so what looks good on paper still needs to be peeked under the hood. You can't do business in China, I think, without going over there and making sure the numbers you see actually have some meat behind them.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Now, let me ask, I saw right up on you, there's a few ways you talk about how to invest in China or how to play the China growth story. What do you think is the best, and you know, which are the best ways? You see direct shares of the stock or otherwise?
Well, I think you can do best with selectively picking the very best companies that are there. And you can get those in two ways. There's quite a few that trade as ADRs on the U.S. market. There's 71 Chinese stocks that trade on the New York Stock Exchange. So you don't have to go overseas to invest in Asia. Now, you also can invest on foreign exchanges, primarily in the Hong Kong, where most Chinese stocks are listed. But for those of you that like the more delegation, there are ETFs that invest in China. For example, there's the Financial Times China 25 Index. The ticker on that is FXI. But there's also the Morgan Stanley Hong Kong ETF, and that's EWH. And there are some selected mutual funds out there that have a very heavy concentration or even a focus on China. My favorite is U.S. Global China Opportunity. The ticker on that is USCOX. But there also are many very, very exciting stocks, not just listed on the U.S. market, but over in China, that are doing extremely well. And don't forget, there's a lot of companies that are really focused their future on Asia. I'll give you an example. Yum Brands, Pizza Hut, KFC, and Taco Bell. You know, over 50% of their revenues come from outside of North America. Best Buy just opened its first store in Shanghai last week. Home Depot, Walmart, Motorola, Apple, all these companies are making giant inroads in Asia and are going to derive a huge portion of their sales and profits from the Asia markets.
I think it's great points all around. I think one thing I want to ask you, Tony, is one of the, you know, the naysayers out there talk about their banking system, the bad loans that haven't come out yet. Is this still an issue? Has that been dealt with yet? Do you consider that a major risk or something that people are just trying to use as an excuse why they won't invest there?
Oh, no. I think the naysayers are absolutely right. I wouldn't touch a Chinese bank with a 10-foot pole. They have billions of dollars of unperforming, non-performing loans that have not been written off yet. Matter of fact, there's only one stock in the world with the name China in it that I'd buy, and that's China Mobile.
Okay.
All the rest, I think, are accidents waiting to happen. The banking system is very, very, their balance sheets are horrible. They're terrible.
But, well, you didn't mince words there, did you? Let me ask you this. Someone says, you know, I'm excited by the story. You can't go a day without reading about growth in China. I know you're writing your own newsletters. I want you to take a minute. We always ask our people, don't listen to a stock idea you hear on the radio, on our show, anywhere. Do your homework. Where can they hit you for more information? Where could they read more? Where could they do some homework so they're a little bit more informed when they step in?
Oh, the easiest place would go to my website, which is www.asiastockalert.com. And there they'll find quite a bit of information, plus a toll-free number if they want to call for some more details. But it's I think it's a great newsletter. It's $200 a year. And if you want to find out about China, I think that's one of the best places to go. But there's quite a few other websites. If you just hit the China Investing in Google, you'll find a lot of information. And one of the best, I think, is if you go subscribe to the International Herald. You can go to their website, and they put their newspaper up for free. So there's a lot of places you can go to get information on how to invest in Asia. And I know we're talking a lot about China, but don't forget countries like Taiwan, South Korea, Singapore, Japan. Those are rapidly growing mature economies also. And there's even some just as exciting opportunities there.
I mean, what a great point you're making. I know there's a lot of breath being talked about Japan and their economy is gigantic. Certainly, you know, when their economy is going, it's going to spread all the way around. Are you doing anything in the Japanese market?
A little bit. There's a couple stocks I like, but the ones that are the most exciting in Japan are the ones that are making significant investments in China. I'll give you an example. Shiseido Cosmetics,
okay.
Giant name in cosmetics in Japan. But they manufacture their cosmetics specifically for Asian complexions. So guess what? What cosmetics you think Chinese people like? They like Shiseido. There's an example of how they're leveraging their already successful brand into China. The thing is, you should ask why all these companies are making all this effort to get into the Chinese market. The reason for that is the potential and profits are just enormous. You know, Chairman Mao said it doesn't matter whether the cat is black or white, as long as it catches the mouse. If you really want to catch some profits, and I mean big, big profits, you should make a New Year's resolution to sprinkle a little Asian spice into your equity portfolio.
Well, Tony, I think you hit that right on. I know that their Olympics are coming. Every once in a while we'll hear that there's a slowdown coming, but I think that they take a much longer approach to what they're doing. I personally believe the cat is out of the box. I'm not sure whether it's democracy or communism, but it's free market and it's capitalist, and you could feel it spreading, and I think you did a great job in outlining it. Is there anything I forgot to ask you, any kind of last points you want to bring out?
Well, the last thing I'd say is this is a volatile market. It's analogous to investing in high beta U.S. stocks. And so if you're uncomfortable with wild volatility, you're going to have a tough time investing in the Chinese market. But if you've invested in tech stocks or other high beta stocks in the past, and you're willing to take that extra volatility for much, much bigger rewards, this is a market you really should look at.
I think that's a super point. I think one of the things I respect also is the fact that, you know, down on Wall Street, everyone kind of gets caught up in the group thing. They're all saying and doing the same things. Now, you're pretty far away from New York. Have you been there your whole life, or what brings you out there?
To
Montana.
Montana or China?
Montana.
Oh, I married a Montana girl.
All righty. The beef's pretty good. The air's pretty clean.
Yours,
you get to think independently, huh?
She wanted to live in Montana.
Well, I think that's fantastic, too. Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. I think, let me ask you this. If you were to, do you look at the U.S. market at all? You have any calls on the U.S., or really most of your money's international?
Oh, I think the majority of your equity portfolio should be in the U.S. I think China is just a little spice, like you might spice it up with maybe some biotech or other investments.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's appropriate for more than 10, 15, 20% of your portfolio. But in the U.S., but the real issue, though, is if you take a look at most estimates, they expect the U.S. economy to grow by, 1 to 2% this year?
Right.
The Chinese economy has expanded by more than 10% for the last 4 years in a row. They just came out with their estimates last week and expect them to see 9.8% in 2007. Now, historically, they've always woefully under-forecasted, so they'll probably be around that 10% again. But what you're looking at is you could invest in the slow growth, more maturing, perhaps even slowing down U.S. economy, or invest in an economy that's growing 4, 5, 6, 7 times as fast. So from that perspective, there's just no doubt there's more bang for the buck overseas. But I think the U.S. market has some great opportunities, too. The only areas I'd really avoid would be things associated with housing. I still think the real estate hasn't bottomed.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the financial stocks had some problems with maybe some of their hidden derivative portfolios. So, but for the most part, I think if you look across the board, I'm very optimistic about the U.S. also.
Well, I think that's a great recap. I happen to agree. You know, I'm very interested in your quantitative approach, Tony. I think I'm going to come at you after the show, and we'll find a time to compare what we're doing. I always like to learn from other smart people. You've obviously had a lot of success. We really appreciate you joining us. And one more time, your website and phone number before we head out.
Yeah, just go to www.asiastockalert.com, and that'll tell you everything you need to know.
Well, fantastic. Listen, happy, healthy New Year. Enjoy the big sky out there. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, folks, you are listening to Profitable Investing on Voice America. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break. Stick with us.
401s, stock, mortgage, retirement, wealth. We cover it all. Voice America Business.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we've all heard me drone on and on about the positives of the market, the positives of the economy. There is a negative out there looming. It's the sword over everyone's head. We're talking about real estate and potentially interest rates. We'll bring on Mike Larson right now, the senior interest rate and real estate analyst over at Money and Markets. And Mike, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad I could be here.
Alrighty. Now, Mike, what I always like to do is give everyone a chance just to give their own background. We're not bringing on rookies on the show. We're bringing on people with lots of experience. Give people a little bit of your own background, and then we'll get right into the markets themselves.
Sure, Jordan. I've been following the interest rate and mortgage and housing markets for about 8 years now. I started at Bankrate.com in 1998, following mortgage lending and writing about the industry then, and I've been with a company called Weiss Research since 2001. One of the many areas that I do follow here are the housing stocks, the interest rate markets, some of the investments that help you profit from rises and declines in interest rates and all of that. So about 8 years experience or so.
Okay. Well, listen, I hear that the officials out there, the guys who want to keep everyone calm, think maybe the worst is over. We hear that a lot. There's a lot of pessimism, a lot of optimism, all kinds of, real varied approach on this. Tell us where you think the real estate and interest rate market, where do you want to start?
Well, I think I'd start with the real Achilles heel to the worst is over argument, and that's the inventories. Simply the mammoth supply of homes for sale that we have on the market that we built up during the boom and that we've made hardly a dent in the past couple of months that we've been in the so-called bottom. Just to give you an idea, you look at what's happened with existing home inventories. I kind of measure the start of this boom around January 2001. That's when the Fed started cutting rates to save us from the NASDAQ decline and the ensuing economic fallout. And that's when real estate started to get hot, and then obviously it really got crazy from about 2003 on. We've seen the number of existing homes on the market shoot up about 117% or so between that January 2001 low and the July peak we had this summer. And if you look at it on as far as a longer-term chart, that's roughly an all-time high. Since then, we've managed to work off 1.1% of the homes for sale. I don't know about you, but that doesn't look like much of an impact, and that's with roughly a 75 basis point decline in mortgage rates and a lot of happy talk that the worst is over. The new home side, it's pretty much the same. We have seen builders cut back on construction. Housing starts and all of that have fallen, so have building permits in the last several months. But again, too, we've just recently, as recently as this summer, we had the highest level of new homes for sale in U.S. history, and that's left us with this overhang, this really Mount Everest-size inventory overhang that we have to deal with.
Well, I'd say big supply and small demand is not a good story for price movement. I think that there's a lot of discussion that the market is very regionalized, and California, Florida taking the biggest hits because they had the biggest rise and the biggest speculation. Is it a regional thing? Is it a national thing? Is it something you think that really leads to recession, or just doesn't offer a competitive speculation for the stock market?
Well, I think the bull market in real estate was pretty much nationwide. I mean, it's a matter of degree. Certainly down here, Miami condos did a heck of a lot better than single-family homes in South Dakota. But I think, you know, you clearly saw a boom from one end of the country to the other, and quite a lot of areas in between in terms of price gains and sales outstripping gains and incomes, and even the percentage decline in mortgage rates, really, you know, the speculative element getting in there and driving those markets much higher. So I think, you know, nationwide we're going to struggle, although obviously it'll be worse in some locations than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do look at the fact that nationwide home sales or home prices, you know, are falling 3.5%, somewhere in that ballpark, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in the scheme of things, it's the biggest decline we've seen in U.S. history. So, you know, something to keep in mind. That's a nationwide figure. It's definitely a problem for the country as a whole.
Right. Now, I think when I hear about problems in the market, you know, to me, one of the things I think about are the tricky mortgages, the balloons, the you name them, the stuff that was coming out towards the tail end of the run. I think the Fed clamped down on some of the creative rates. But is this something that you see to create a problem, or is that a small percentage of mortgages out there?
Well, you know, we've had an incredible loosening in terms of lending standards in the last few years. I mean, you know, giving loans to anyone with the pulse, and in a few cases, you don't even need one of those. I've read about mortgages going to dead people.
All right.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that's not the biggest part of the market. The prime or conventional lending market is bigger than subprime, which is where the people with worse credit and some of the funky mortgage financing is done. But clearly, that part of the market, the subprime element, the Alt-A, to use the industry jargon, has exploded, 20%, 15%, depending on how you want to measure it, of the overall mortgage market. So you've got a lot of that financing, loans given to people who never would have qualified before. And then you also have even your prime customers, your guys with good credit, instead of taking out 30-year fixed loans, they're going for these funky option arms and interest-only mortgages and what have you. So we've never really been tested. The computer models that estimate losses on these things and the lenders that have been giving them out haven't really been tested by a serious downturn, much less a national downturn. So that's really where the rubber is going to hit the road in the next year or two. Already some of I read the subprime mortgages that were made in 2006 are going sour. People are defaulting on them at the fastest rate in history, basically. And that just tells you that, you know, we're going to have some kind of fallout. You're already seeing a few mortgage lenders disappear, go broke in the past couple of months that are in the higher risk part of the market, because their funding sources, the end investors who've been giving them the money to make these loans, are backing away. So you have kind of this nascent credit crunch, and if it gets worse, then absolutely that's going to have an impact on the overall market.
Okay, now let me flip around, and I don't want to, you know, talk too much optimism here. I'll agree that once a bear market starts, people don't realize the extent of the duration of it. I saw a number, 3 of the last 4 months, what was it, new home sales, something ticked up for the last 3 out of the last 4 months, giving a little breath of optimism. And we also want to expand that the market looks forward 6 to 9 months, so none of the housing stocks rank up high on my quantitative model, so I haven't even been really watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Are the stocks still going down, or are the housing stocks predicting an upturn, or they're still stuck?
Well, I think, no doubt, things haven't really been, on a nationwide basis, been getting worse. When you look at sales volumes, inventory levels in the past few months, they have not gotten worse than, I guess, where they were roughly in July. Now, so we have seen clearly a bounce in indicators like the Mortgage Bankers Association. They put out a purchase index that measures how many loans people are getting to buy homes. That's ticked up from its low. We've seen inventories tick down, and we've seen sales tick up. Nothing major, and I think nothing that you wouldn't expect to see from time to time. I mean, you know, certainly sales aren't going to go to zero in a straight line. My suspicion is that this is nothing more than a bounce, and my main reason for thinking so is that number one, we've got the U.S. economy that's kind of weakening. I mean, the interesting thing about this housing downturn is that it kind of came out of the blue. Interest rates were still low. They were up, but still low. Unemployment was falling. The unemployment rate was falling throughout the start of the slowdown in housing in 2005. Now that is potentially poised to reverse. Joblessness poised to rise if we see the economy slow. you're going to have that kind of fundamental problem out there. And then there's simply the inventory situation. I think one of the major reasons, you know, everybody's talking about how inventories have ticked down, but that's absolutely completely in line with historical patterns. I mean, you know as well as I do that not as many homes get sold seasonally in November and December, and if you put your home on the market and didn't sell it in the spring and summer, you're very likely to pull it off the market because who the heck shops for a home at Christmas time? And then once you roll into the new year, say February and thereon, that's when I suspect you're going to see a lot of those homes that came off the MLS show back up, and we're going to see a new high in inventories. If you know that's sort of my operating thesis right now, that we kind of have another leg down.
Okay.
You know, but it's fair to say that things have stabilized. It's just a question of whether the market's going to rebound, and I think it's just too early for that.
Right, and I think I defer to you on this. I know this is your area. I will tell you one thing I saw in today's paper kind of blew my mind a little bit. I grew up in Manhattan in a big four-bedroom apartment that never went co-op, and we moved out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It says here that Manhattan apartment prices bucked the downtrend and actually climbed. It says that the Upper West Side, where I grew up, that apartments, four bedrooms and larger, jumped 48% to $5.7 million per apartment, you know, this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I think your point is super, that it comes down to supply and demand. Four bedrooms on the Upper West Side of Manhattan is rare. That's why they get the premium, and I don't think we see that all the way around. I think that's an aberration. What I really think is important is that I know you do quite a bit of writing, and we always point our listeners to the writing. So where can they read more about what you're saying and find out more? Even maybe they want to talk to you, follow up. How can they do that?
Sure. A couple of places I'd recommend they go to. Number one would be moneyandmarkets.com. All spelled out. I do a weekly column there on Fridays, just looking at the latest developments in the markets that I follow. And then the other place is I have a blog where I'll post some kind of shorter thoughts that I have on market activity. That's interestrateroundup.blogspot.com. And, for example, today we had a pending home sales report that came out. This is the Realtors Group for November, and that was actually down 0.5% when the market was looking for a 0.7% gain. So that's the kind of stuff I'll update on the quick there.
No, I think that's fantastic. I think that you have to have the right indicators to look at, and I think you have your pulse on it. I really appreciate you joining us. What I'd like you to do is to come on maybe once in a while. If you feel an uptick, a downtick, the indicators you see, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to be here.
All right, so let me wish a happy new year. Folks, you're listening to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel on Voice America. Stick with us. We're going to wrap up the show. We saved some things to wrap up. Stick with us right after this quick commercial break.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Strengthening your financial goals. The leader in business talk radio. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing. And I want to share these two guests we had on, absolutely high-quality guys with lots and lots of experience. The interesting thing is these are two of the most controversial places where real estate is going and what's going on with the international markets. And I really want to just take a step back here. It's, I think, real important to gain a little perspective. And we get caught up way too often in the monthly numbers. We get caught up in what's happening today and kind of forget really about the big picture. One of the things I talked about in the past, and I read a beautiful 10-page piece by a financial guy who's been in the business for 20 years, and it's exactly the length of time I'm in. He runs a newsletter that we subscribe to. We download it every day on the net and print it. He talks about just several years ago feeding page by page into a fax machine and shooting it out to each and every one of his clients, and how much his business has changed and how dramatic technology has helped him. And in the article, he talks about the first ever FedEx package being sent out, and I even asked some people today when they thought it happened. And folks, that was as recently as 1971. And what we're seeing here is a market and a world economy right now that is so enormous and growing so fast. And what we don't realize is everyone is waiting right now for the U.S. consumer to kind of drop dead, that earnings slow down, that the next thing you know, a 3% drop in housing prices or a 1% drop in this, or you name whatever nonsense that they're talking about, is going to actually kill and slow down the world economy. Well, folks, what you, I think, really need to know here in this market is the fact that we are in a global expansion with global liquidity. And I think we've been here once before back, hardly to believe, we saw this back in 1910, right up into the First World War. And all of a sudden, world trade came to a screeching halt, and we went into some really, really difficult times. Well, folks, I don't believe that's happening again. And what I think is that right now, we're in a position, from I believe it was Winston Churchill who said, either we hang together or we hang separately. And what that means is that global leaders don't want to kind of give up what is going on. If they see problems, they will flush liquidity into the market. At this point, we don't even need to talk about that happening simply because there's so much cash in the sidelines in individuals' hands and corporations' hands. And we are seeing, even while people doubt the U.S. market and doubt the growth of the economy, we saw last year an all-time record set with mergers and acquisitions and share buybacks. We also saw even though the IPO market finally lit up again and there was all sorts of IPOs and very successful and large ones at that, many of them international, we're actually seeing less shares available for the public to buy today than we have seen years ago. And again, it comes down to supply and demand. We are in probably the world's best market economy and situation. We'll call it Goldilocks. They want to talk about how many people are actually saying things like that, and then they're saying, well, maybe there's actually too much optimism at this stage, and the markets are ready to fall because, gee, we went through Dow to 12,000, and now all of a sudden we're at all-time highs. Maybe we need to pull our horns in. I think those people do not have the perspective that we're looking at. I think that in my grandfather's lifetime, and he's gone for a while now, but I used to sit with him, and he'd talk about on Broadway in 83rd, where I grew up on the Upper West Side, he remembers, I think it was Smitty, and Smitty drove up in a horse and wagon, pitched a tent, and got squatters' rights 7 years later. And that's on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where the apartment that we grew up in as a very, very modest house is now, like I said, selling for $6 million because there's just not enough of it. And people all around the world, they want to move into the United States. They want to bring their money domestically. We're hearing threats that the Asians and the Saudis may sell our bonds and skyrocket interest rates. Well, folks, I believe that you need to kind of get rooted into home. Whenever there's any interest or anything going on in the world, the money wants to flow into the United States more than it wants to flow anywhere else. I believe what you're seeing is that we remain the leader in not only the world economy, but in terms of new products that get developed, the ingenuity. So I don't want to sound overly American and anti-international, folks. What's spawning all this is the growth internationally. It's just not going to slow down. There's something called the Internet, and all around the world, they want to see more and more and emulate what we do. They want our water parks. They want our refrigerators. They want everything that we're doing, not because it's American, but because it's a whole lot better to live with a refrigerator than it isn't. And I think that what it is going on right now is one of the things that we specialize in. It's not a political statement about democracy. It's about the free market and capitalism. And anyone given the opportunity to decide is going to go free market. People want to smoke what they want, drink what they want, and do what they want. And that's what's called the free market. That's what the U.S. specializes, frankly, in exporting. But I think the main message I'm really trying to give you is the actual scope of where things are and the size of where we are. I like to speak to old-timers who talk about the fact that when they first traded for the first time ever, a million shares a day, there were all kinds of celebrations that took place. Now we're seeing individual stocks trade 65 million shares a day, and that's routinely. That's not on a big news day. We're seeing billion share days, multi-billion share days, and what I'll tell you, by the end of this decade, we probably have a good shot at seeing 10 billion share days on the New York Stock Exchange, 10 billion shares on NASDAQ. People are not getting the scope of this. They're thinking in terms of where we were and the fact that only a couple of generations ago, there were squatters' rights in New York City, and there were very, very brave families getting in covered wagons and going out west. This is only a couple generations ago here in the United States. We can't lose perspective. Things are happening. They're bigger. They're faster. That does not mean we are bulls on everything we see and we want to buy all the shares. What I really encourage you to do is take a look at the newsletter we are putting out. We are offering people our quantitative approach in a small newsletter that you could read in basically 5 minutes. See if any of those companies or any of those ideas match where you're trying to go and what you're trying to do. Because frankly, we are in a bull market. Do not buy the stories of a 1% inflation rate, folks. If you're buying shoes, if you're paying for college education down the road, if you're looking to retire one day, it's not going to be done clipping coupons. It's not going to be done rolling over CDs. I personally believe America needs to get back its guts. People need to take risks. That doesn't mean day trading. That means trying to identify trends of the future, buying into them, and letting the future happen. And that takes some time. That takes some patience. It's hard to do with the media screaming at you that if you go just 3 more miles, your ship is going to go over the horizon. So again, I think what you need to do is to kind of put it all into perspective. As our show grows, or I understand our listenership is growing very significantly, what I'd like you to do, everyone out there, tell 2 friends, show them how to log on, go on to magnetreport.com. There's all kinds of now exciting things being offered on there. Hit our own website at magnetinvesting.com. See how we can help you capitalize on this bull market. The last thing we want to do, folks, is give you the stock of the day. We think you're too smart out there. We want to teach you to fish. We want to feed you for a lifetime. And we want to help you how to identify and find unbiased information and ride this bull. We probably, in my opinion, again, we see Dow 15,000. This year, I believe the year going into the presidential election is deemed to be the best trend. This is a 100-year trend. So get your money out of the bank. Give us a call, in fact, at 888-766-6828. Tell us how you would like this show to change, improve, help you even more. And in the meantime, I hear the music coming. It's time to go. I want to wish you profitable week ahead. Profitable investing right here on Voice America and Magnet Investing. We'll see you in a week. Thanks for joining us. Same time next week. Tell your friends. Tune in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.